Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come to this time of prayer, coming into your presence to listen to you, to whatever you have to tell each one of us. And we have invoked Our Lady, as we always do, in this month of the Rosary, dedicated to Mary by Pope Leo XIII at the end of the 19th century. We have invoked our guardian angel, having just celebrated recently on the 2nd of this month the Feast of the Guardian Angels. We're in good company. Our Lady, Saint Joseph, that master of the interior life, who lived that ordinary life in the workshop, talking with Jesus. We do our prayer tonight about sanctifying our ordinary life. And Lord, you are the example. It was not for nothing that you had ordained together with the Father and the Holy Spirit that in your 33 years of life on earth, 30 of them would be spent in the home of the Holy Family, working. And you who were God brought God into the workplace. And you are in our workplace and in our home and in all of our activities. You brought the divine presence into the world by your very incarnation. And now it's up to us to discover you there. On Saturday, we celebrated the 10th anniversary of the canonization of Saint Jose Maria. And Pope John Paul II called him the saint of the ordinary. We have the saints of the Eucharist and the saints of devotion to Mary and the saints of the Holy Cross. And Saint Jose Maria is the saint of the ordinary. And every one of us lives an ordinary life in one way or another. And Lord, you are there. You are present in our life, in our home, in our workplace, if we work outside the home. Wherever we go, you are there. But we must discover you there. This is the way for lay people to discover God in the middle of the world, always remembering that, as the Second Vatican Council said in Lumen Gentium, by their special vocation, it belongs to the laity to engage in temporal affairs, the affairs of the world, and order them according to the law of God, to be in the world, but bringing God into the world. Pope John Paul II, when he was in Melbourne in 1986, spoke at the Flemington Racecourse, and this is the world, the racecourse. And he said, "The common priesthood of the faithful, in which all Christians share by reason of their baptismal consecration, enables the faithful to offer all their activity to God as a spiritual sacrifice in union with the Eucharistic sacrifice of Christ and his church. We'll go on with the rest of his words, but to offer up our work, our sacrifice, in union with the sacrifice of the Mass, and therefore it acquires an enormous value, that ordinary work that we do. Life, with all its possibilities and responsibilities, with its joys and its sorrows, its hopes and its pains, becomes like a temple in which God is adored and his will fulfilled. Life becomes the temple, which means wherever we are, our home, our kitchen, our laundry, our bedroom, our lounge room, our backyard, the places where we shop, the places where we encounter other people. Life becomes like a temple in which God is adored and his will fulfilled. The laity in particular are called to bring the message and spirit of the gospel into the everyday world of the family, work, and leisure. Individual Christians and groups must show Christ to the world, and they must do this by their hard work and professional competence, their dedication, their adherence to principle. And one could summarize all of that. They must do this by their faith. As we prepare to begin the year of faith on the 11th of this month, our faith, which shines out of us, our love for God, our principles, our values, which contrast with the way of life of so many. And when people see that light shining, because we don't hide it under a bushel, then they are drawn to Christ, they are drawn to God, they are drawn to a different way of life by our example. But that will be a reality to the extent, Lord, to which we discover you in our ordinary life, and we talk with you there. And this life, with which, as the Pope says, will have its joys and its sorrows. Life isn't always joyful. Well, it should be always joyful, but it will not be always easy. There will be sorrows, and we find joy even in the cross, and especially in the cross, which was the instrument of our redemption, with its joys and its sorrows, its hopes and its pains. Yes, we have pains too, but Lord, you are there in our pains. And this life becomes like a temple in which God is adored and his will fulfilled. And we open the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, where in two different passages in the same third chapter, he speaks to us of offering up our life, offering up our work to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we can do that, at least in an habitual way, by our morning offering. Soon as we get out of bed, to offer that day, whatever it will bring, whatever joys and sufferings, our work, our prayer, offered to God in the morning offering, and that offering remains with its habitual force throughout the day, even if we don't remember to offer anything else to God explicitly, it is already offered by our morning offering. And then a few lines later, St. Paul writes, "Whatever your task, work heartily as serving the Lord and not men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." And again, whatever our task, And we have so many different tasks during the day or during the week. But work heartily, serving the Lord, not men. We tend to do it for men, for the family, for our employer, wherever we are, but to do it for God, to have that supernatural outlook, that rectitude of intention, Deo omnis gloria, to God be all the glory. Then knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ, and he will reward us. And if we ask, is this easy to do? In one sense, extremely easy, because we don't need money. We don't need time. We have 24 hours every day. Everyone has the same amount of time. God is with us wherever we are. We don't need anything but our intention, our love. In that sense, it's easy. But if we ask, but is it easy, in fact, to remember God while we are doing our various jobs? Answer, no, it isn't. And our Lord doesn't expect us to be constantly talking with him while we go through those various tasks. But at least we try. And in the morning, it can be very good to ask our Lord, please, help me today, this day that is beginning, to remember you more often, to offer up those various tasks, to talk with you while I do them, to thank you for all the blessings you give me, so that I live in your presence, because you are present everywhere. And I always come back to those words of St. Augustine in his Confessions. Lord, you were with me, but I was not with you. And that really strikes home for all of us. Lord, you are with me, but I wasn't with you. I forgot you. I didn't explicitly, at least, speak with you while I was doing those jobs. But help me to do this better, more, to remember you more often, to remember that when I am doing the dishes, ironing, shopping, driving, going for a walk, you are there, and I talk with you. St. Jose Maria told once a story of a truck driver somewhere in Europe who saw a hitchhiker beside the road with his little suitcase. And he pulled over to give the hitchhiker a lift. And the hitchhiker asked him, can I get in? Is there anyone in the cabin with you? And the truck driver hesitated. And he said, no, there's no one here. Get in. And he got in, and they were driving along. And at some stage, the hitchhiker said to the truck driver, you know, when I asked you whether there was anyone else in the cabin, you hesitated. Why did you hesitate? And the truck driver said, because when I drive my truck, I always think that I'm never alone. Jesus is with me. And that's why I hesitated. And he proceeded to describe his interior life, his spiritual life of sanctifying and talking with God in driving his truck. And suddenly the hitchhiker said, stop, I want to get out. And he explained, I'm the parish priest of the town where you picked me up. I was running away, but I want to go back. The spiritual life, the sanctification of ordinary life of a truck driver saved the priestly vocation of that priest. And Lord, how much good are you going to do through our spiritual life, through our finding you in our ordinary life? And I would like to go to a homily of St. Jose Maria that I attended in 1967 on the campus of the University of Navarre. It was a beautiful October day, and now that I pull it out and look at the date, it was today's date, the 8th of October, 1967, exactly 45 years ago. And it was an open-air mass in front of one of the main buildings of the university. And the papers reported that there were some 30,000 people in attendance. And what he said struck everybody. It certainly struck me. And amongst the things that he said, which have been quoted so often ever since, was, "You must understand now more clearly that God is calling you to serve him in and from the ordinary material and secular activities of human life. He waits for us every day in the laboratory, in the operating theater, in the army barracks, in the university chair, in the factory, in the workshop, in the fields, in the home, and in all the immense panorama of work. Understand this well. There is something holy, something divine, hidden in the most ordinary situations, and it is up to each one of you to discover it. Lord, you are there in my ordinary life, in my home, in all the places where I go. You are that something, that someone divine. And it's up to me to discover you." He went on, "I have often said to the university students and workers who were with me in the 30s that they had to know how to materialize their spiritual life. I wanted to keep them from the temptation, so common then and now, of living a kind of double life. On one side, an interior life, a life of relation with God, and on the other, a separate and distinct professional, social, and family life full of small earthly realities. Two lives, the spiritual and the secular." "No," he said, "we cannot lead a double life. We cannot be like schizophrenics if we want to be Christians. There is just one life made of flesh and spirit. If we look at the very human person, we are made of flesh and spirit. And Jesus, you were spirit, the Son of God, in human nature. Just one life made of flesh and spirit, and it is this life which has to become, in both soul and body, holy and filled with God. We discover the invisible God in the most, we discover the invisible God in the most visible and material things. There is no other way. Either we learn to find our Lord in ordinary, everyday life, or else we shall never find him. Of course, we find him in the Eucharist, but he's there in ordinary life. That is why I can tell you that our age needs to give back to matter and to the most trivial occurrences and situations their noble and original meaning. It needs to restore them to the service of the kingdom of God, to spiritualize them, turning them into a means and an occasion for a continuous meeting with Jesus Christ." And this is the panorama that is there for all of us, for every human being. And in one sense, as we said, it is so easy. We don't need instruments. We don't need material things. We don't need money. God is with us no matter where we are, in our sick bed, no matter where we are. God is there. Lord, help us to discover you, to sanctify that ordinary life. And for this reason, sanctity is within the grasp of everyone. Lord, you give us all the grace we need. Sanctity is love. And it is, as St. Alphonsus says, all of holiness consists in the love of God, and all of the love of God consists in doing his will. No matter where we are, we can do your will. And I say, if we are sick in bed for months or for years on end, your will is that we sanctify our pain, our lying in bed, our kindness with the people that come to visit us and look after us. Sanctity is there, and it is in ordinary life. How can we do this in a practical way? We mentioned the morning offering. That is the beginning. What we cannot do is get out of bed and begin our busyness of the day without stopping and praying, thanking you for the night, offering up this day that is beginning, asking you to help us remember you, that we begin the day in your presence and live the day then in your presence. But if we don't pray when we begin the day, are we going to remember to pray during the day? Most likely not. And then to realize that no matter what we are doing, it is sanctifiable. God is there. Some people think they need to be doing important work or spiritual work in order to find God. The most mundane. One of the beautiful things about Opus Dei, with its, I suppose, approaching 100,000 people in this vocation, is the variety of walks of life of these people. And they go from the coal miner, perhaps working kilometers underground, to the airplane pilot or flight attendant working many kilometers above the ground, to the opera singer, to the truck driver, the bus driver, the concreter, the carpenter, the banker, the university professor, the housewife, the student. So many different walks of life. Every honest walk of life will find somebody in Opus Dei. The fishermen, farmers, offering up that work. Everything is sanctifiable. And therefore, not to complain, oh, my work isn't very important, oh, my work is humdrum, oh, I don't even like to do this. And I say, if you don't like to do it, splendid. The less you like it, the more value it has. If we do things that we like all the time, that's easy. And we can offer that up to God. But when we have to do things we don't like, and for mothers, for example, getting up in the middle of the night to feed a baby, or to take someone to the toilet, or whatever, is unpleasant. But that has so much value when we offer that to God. And then to try to offer up the individual tasks that we do as we begin a new job. Lord, help me with this. Help me to remember you. And maybe saying some aspirations as we do it, thanking you when we finish it. When we're about to make a phone call, we can pray for the person whom we are calling. When the phone is ringing, we can pray for whoever that is ringing us, and it might be a wrong number, and we've prayed for someone that we will never even meet. And how can we remember more often that God is with us? Little human reminders, if we have a clock in the house, for example, that chimes, whenever that chime goes off, we can say a little aspiration, maybe we hear a siren or the phone call. This is the reminder God is calling us through that. Whenever we go up and down the stairs, we could say some aspiration, turn off or on a light. have some alarm on our watch or on a clock that goes every hour or with whatever frequency we want. There are many ways in which our ingenuity will suggest that we can speak to God and be reminded of Him. Having images around our house, from crucifixes to images of Our Lady or the Sacred Heart or our favorite saint, whatever. But Lord, help us to have that ingenuity, to find ways that we can remember You more often. And then when something is harder or we're suffering in some way, to remember this has more value. Now we are united with You carrying Your cross. And as I always say, and I said it just yesterday to a young mother in the sense that she's expecting her first child in a few months, and I said, you mothers have it all over us men, because with what you go through in pregnancy and morning sickness and tiredness and backaches and childbirth and then getting up every few hours to feed a baby and then stopping the fights and everything else, you have double the frequent flyer points because it's harder. And we need lots of frequent flyer points to get to heaven. Whatever God brings us in the way of a cross doubles the frequent flyer points. But let's not exaggerate and think that my headache doubles my frequent flyer points. It might add a little bit more. But we have to offer these things up well, too. We can't complain about our suffering. And I always think of that really fine woman named Maria, who was dying of cancer. And I went to visit her about 3 weeks before she died. She was at home. She was very thin. And I asked, Maria, how are you? And she said, oh, I'm not 100%. I'm a bit off color. And I said, Maria, you're a champion. Because we can visit some people who have a little bit of the flu, a little bit of a cough, and they say, oh, I'm not very well. Oh, I forgot to take my tablets. Oh, the doctor's coming. My husband's going to take me to the doctor soon, and I hope I'll get better. I'm not very well, but I'll get better sometime. And they dramatize a common cold. Maria was dying of cancer, a bit off color, not 100%. That's a champion. That's the way we can accept suffering and sanctify that ordinary circumstance of pain and suffering. Lord, help us to find You, to discover that something divine hidden in the ordinary circumstances of my life, so that I find You, I deal with You, I talk with You, I love You. And that relationship with You is my faith, and we'll pray more about that in the next meditation. And that faith gives me that light that lights up my surroundings. One more example. Years ago, I was speaking with a very fine young woman working in a government office. And she said, Father, I've seen an advertisement for a job in a Catholic office. I was wondering whether to take it. And I said, that's up to you. But don't forget, in this government office where you are now, you are probably the only person with faith and values that you have. And she had a lot of faith. And in that Catholic office, there's lots of people with faith. In this government office, you are the light in the darkness. In the other office, there's plenty of light. Consider that. And I don't know what she did in the end, but we should bring this light of Christ into our surroundings, wherever we are, and we will do this to the extent that we have that deep spiritual life, that interior life. And this comes from our conversation with God, our prayer, our offering up of our ordinary life, then we discover that quid divinum, that something divine hidden in our ordinary life. And Mary, we go to you as always. Your life, all of it, was ordinary within the extraordinary gifts and responsibilities that God gave you. But your daily life was very ordinary. And we can imagine you live that very much in the presence of God. Help us to do that, to discover God in and through the ordinary circumstances of our life. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.